Have you ever dreamed of making an incredible discovery? Whether that's curing cancer or finding a way to end world hunger, we all want to have a positive impact on the world, right? Sadly, for the inventors on this list, their weird and wonderful creations turned against them in the grisliest ways possible. So from the highest highs to the lowest lows, let's take a look at some inventors who were killed by their own inventions.
You're listening to
Be Amazed.
Now, you'd be a fool to think these inventors aren't the most book smart people. In fact, some of them were the geniuses of their day. Take Abu Nasr al-Jauhari. He was a notable Persian scholar born in Kazakhstan sometime in the 10th century. He worked as a lexicographer and wrote a little book. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called, The Dictionary. Yikes. Okay, it's not the dictionary you or I might use today. It was entirely in Arabic. But still, smart dude. Al-Jauhari spent his days traveling around the Middle East before settling in Nishapur, and what is modern-day Iran. But that's where things took a little turn for the worst for him. See, according to some scholars, despite being incredibly smart, Al-Jauhari began suffering serious mental delusions about being a bird. What the cluck? In the first decade of the 11th century, Al-Jauhari climbed to the roof of Nishapur Mosque with two wooden wings he'd spent months laboring over. Al-Jauhari believed that with these lovingly crafted and bespoke wings, he could realize his fantasy of flight. However, it didn't exactly go to plan. After leaping from the mosque roof and flapping frantically, Bird Boy bombed beak first into the ground. Yikes. Poor guy. I guess he hadn't yet figured out the word dum-dum for his dictionary. Being an inventor, you've got to be prepared to deal with a lot of failures if you hope to strike gold. Sometimes those failures can be pretty spectacular. Take French aviation pioneer Jean-François Pélâtre de Rosier. He went down in history for performing the first manned hot air balloon flight in November 1783. But he went down even harder 2 years later after a planned trip across the English Channel. See, the balloon he used in his first untethered flight lacked the oomph to fly from England to France. So de Rosier engineered his own balloon, which ran off both hot air and hydrogen gas to give him that little extra thrust he needed. Despite several attempts to get his special balloon off the ground, though, de Rosier wasn't able to launch from Boulogne-sur-Mer until June 15, 1785, when he did so with his companion, Pierre Romain. After a successful takeoff, everything seemed to be going fine, until a sudden change of wind pushed them back some 3 miles past their starting point. What a bummer. Upon realigning and getting going in the right direction again, de Rosier and Romain traveled a measly 7 miles before the balloon spectacularly burst into flames near Wimereux. Huh? Yep. Now I can be certain, but running a double fuel design could have been de Rosier's downfall. See, hydrogen is extremely flammable. So there is a chance that the hydrogen canister caught light and incinerated that balloon to a crisp. De Rosier and his companion hurtled towards the ground from about 1,500 feet and were no more. Yikes. Talk about going out in a blaze of glory. Unless you spent 2023 living under a rock, you must have heard about the missing Titanic submarine saga. I'll give you a quick recap. American businessman and co-founder and CEO of deep-sea exploration company OceanGate, Stockton Rush designed a small submersible vessel to view the wreckage of the Titanic in. Famously anti-health and safety, Rush went on record saying, "At some point, safety just is pure waste. If you want to be safe, don't do anything." And boy oh boy did that bite him on the bottom. He was on board the submersible with 4 others, including his young son, on June 18th when the vessel lost contact with the surface ship MV Polar Prince. Search and rescue missions were conducted for several days by the French, American, and Canadian governments, and it became a massive international news story. On June 22nd, the first pieces of debris were discovered over 1,500 feet from the OG Titanic. OceanGate released a statement saying they believe Rush and the other passengers had sadly been lost. Oof. So what happened? Well, the debris was consistent with a drop of internal pressure, because the interiors of the sub couldn't stabilize the external pressure. Instead of exploding where it goes boom, it caved in on itself like a tin can under a car tire. Ouch. That's nasty. See, Rush can poo-poo health and safety all he wants, but only if it's his own safety he's putting at risk. When others are trusting you with their well-being, you better follow that to the T. Hey, I get it. You want to look good. But sometimes the stylish options aren't always the most practical. Well, for Austro-Hungarian tailor Franz Reichelt, function trumped form every day. He'd become fixated on developing a suit for aviators that could transform into a parachute in case of emergency and safely bring them back down to the ground. And boy, is this thing stylish. Reichelt had run a few successful tests on his swag suit by throwing a test dummy from his fifth floor balcony in Paris. However, if he really wanted this thing to take off, he needed a much higher platform to test his invention. After months of contacting the Parisian Prefecture of Police asking if he could test it from the Eiffel Tower, in 1912 they finally agreed. Except on the day of the test, Reichelt decided instead of using the dummy he'd been testing the suit with, he'd run the test with an even bigger dummy. Himself. This wasn't in the agreement with the police, but Reichelt went ahead and did it anyway. Well, his parachute failed to deploy after he jumped and he careened almost 200 feet toward the ground, landing with a deadly thud. Yoinks! Reichelt became headline news and his name echoed around France for all the wrong reasons. Now, that's not the kind of legacy anyone dreams of. Social media nowadays loves a hustler. You know, someone who's put in the craft and built themselves up from the ground by their bootstraps. One of those with a keen eye for business was Henry Winstanley. He was a 17th century English painter, engineer, and merchant who invested the money he made from his paintings into five merchant vessels. Sadly, life on the come up was tough, and two of those ships got savagely wrecked on Eddystone Rocks near Plymouth, England. Winstanley was enraged nothing was being done to protect ships moving through these dangerous waters. Rather than sit about and moan, he decided to take the initiative and set out to build the first Eddystone lighthouse to ensure other merchants didn't suffer the same fate he had. Construction of the large octagonal tower began in 1696 and was completed in 1698. Winstanley was incredibly proud of his achievement, some might say a little too proud. During the great storm of 1703, incredibly harsh weather and giant waves tore into the British coastline. In response, Winstanley rushed to his lighthouse to make some quick repairs and deemed it structurally sound enough to withstand any onslaught from the elements. But let's just say in the morning there was no lighthouse and no Winstanley. Oh no. Since Winstanley's demise, the Eddystone Lighthouse has been rebuilt and flattened over and over again. But its fourth and current iteration has been standing strong since 1881. Phew. After all these years, it sounds like they finally nailed a winning formula. I always wish I had a cool name when I was growing up. I tried going by Snake Venom Panther Strike for a little while, but it never really caught on. So when I heard about Mad Mike Hughes, I was a little curious as to how that name came about. You see, Mad Mike spent his days as a limousine driver, but moonlighted as a flat earth conspiracy theorist and daredevil. Yep, he's called Mad Mike because he was literally insane. Mike wanted to take multiple rocket journeys into space to photograph it as a flat disc, but without any money, he resorted to crowdfunding the entire operation. All in all, he raised $7,875, which doesn't sound like enough money to build a safe rocket. But after a successful test flight on March 24, 2018, Mike returned to the ground safely after reaching speeds of 350 miles per hour while over 1,800 feet high. Color me impressed. However, not content with just one flight, Mike decided to try another launch in February 2020. this one didn't go to plan. Witnesses at the scene said they saw the rocket rubbing against the launch apparatus before takeoff. Then once airbound, the landing parachute was ripped from the craft. With no way to safely land, Mad Mike's furious flight ended pretty horrifically, in a smoldering wreckage on the floor. Worst of all, there was a camera crew there to capture it all for a TV show. Man, I still can't get over how this asinine astronaut built a working rocket with just $7,000. I'm surprised he didn't go as far as strapping himself to the outside of it. Then he'd really have gone out with a bang. Seriously though, the homemade rocket was actually pretty impressive, despite the tragedy. NASA could have given him a job. That is, if NASA is even real. No, they are real. Stop that. Some of these ill-fated inventors were actual high flyers. Take aeronautical innovator Otto Lilienthal. You might have heard of the Wright brothers, who flew the first manned motor-operated plane in 1903. Well, they'd have been the wrong brothers without our boy Otto's contributions. See, Otto the Aviator pioneered the idea of heavier-than-air flight. By curving the top of the wing, Lilienthal created a region of lower pressure above the wing, contrasted with the high pressure below, which generated an upward force called lift. This became a central feature of his spectacular glider designs. After performing the first successful flight in 1891, he'd go on to conduct thousands more. However, it wasn't all easy breezy. Lilienthal's gliders were designed to distribute weight as evenly as possible to keep the craft stable, and they could be controlled to an extent by shifting your body around to change the center of gravity. But if the glider became pointed towards the ground, it was really difficult to recover from that position. On August 9, 1896, after successful test flights where he glided for a staggering 820 feet, Lilienthal went for one more flight. This one, sadly, would be his last. The glider pitched forward and began to nosedive faster than Lilienthal could recover. He crashed from around 50 feet in the air, which wasn't fatal then and there, but was enough to fracture his cervical vertebrae. After being rushed to the hospital, Lilienthal succumbed to his injuries around 36 hours after the fateful crash. Man, what a hero. Without his work and sacrifices, you might have never got on the plane for your vacation. So the next time you're sitting on the runway, spare a thought for the godfather of aviation, old Otto Lilienthal. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. February can make it feel like everyone else has their love life completely figured out. You know, perfect couple photos, romantic gestures everywhere, and a lot of pressure to feel like you're where you're supposed to be. But the truth is, whether you're married, dating, or just focusing on yourself, most of us are still figuring things out as we go, and that's normal. Therapy can be a really helpful way to pause and sort through what actually matters to you. It can help you identify what patterns might be holding you back and what you want to move toward next, whether that's growth as an individual or strengthening a connection with someone else. BetterHelp makes it easier to get started by matching you with a licensed therapist based on your needs and preferences through a short questionnaire. And if the first match doesn't feel right, you can switch to another therapist at any time. With over 30,000 therapists and millions of people helped worldwide, BetterHelp has built a platform that focuses on helping people make real progress one step at a time. So if this season has you reflecting on your relationships or just yourself, you're right on time. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Few things in life are objectively cool. Skinny jeans, planking, and playing Dance Dance Revolution with your homies. That's it. Oh, and motorbikes. Motorbikes are cool. And we've got Sylvester H. Roper to thank for that. This American inventor specialized in automobile innovations, coming to public attention in 1863 for developing a steam carriage, one of the earliest working automobiles, and the first ever motorbike, the Velocipede, in 1867. Look, it's no Harley, but I bet back in Roper's day, if you pulled up on one of these bad boys, you'd have all the 19th century ladies flashing their ankles at you. However, as I know too well, being so darn cool all the time comes with a terrible price. On June 1st, 1896, Roper rode one of his later Velocipede models to the Charles River bike track in Cambridge, Massachusetts. After making a few laps at a blistering pace of 40 miles per hour and zooming past pro cyclists, Roper's bike suddenly got a fit of the wobbles. What happened next is a bit unclear. Roper definitely came off his bike and hit his head. However, the autopsy showed his cause of death was a heart attack. Whether the crash caused the heart attack or the heart attack caused the crash, we don't know. Oh, hey, I just realized there is one other thing that's cool though. Not crashing and dying. Wear a helmet, you bozos. We've covered all sorts of great and ingenious inventors, but what about the inventors who did more harm than good? But one of those was American chemical engineer Thomas Midgley Jr. He's remembered most for helping to develop leaded gasoline in 1921. Midgley Jr. found that by adding tetraethyl lead to gasoline, car manufacturers could reduce the wear and tear on internal engine components and help them run longer. Awesome. But burning liquefied lead is devastating to the environment. Lead is a heavy metal and lasts long after the other exhaust gases like carbon monoxide have dissipated. In the ensuing decades, measurable quantities of lead clung to American streets, sidewalks, and walls. When it rained, all that toxic lead washed into fresh water supplies, poisoning millions of innocents and leading to its eventual phase out in 1996. Yikes. But leaded gas wasn't the invention that spelled Midgley Jr.'s demise. He contracted polio in 1940, a horrific disease that left him partially paralyzed. Becoming mostly bedbound, Midgley Jr. designed an elaborate pulley system that allowed him a modicum of mobility in his sorry state. However, one morning in 1944, he was found unfortunately tangled in the ropes. Yikes. Look, I know his flagship invention caused a huge amount of harm, and I'm not excusing that, but that's a horrible way to go. Poor guy. Why is it that in old movies about the future, they thought it would all be flying cars and robot waitresses by now? I still struggle to do my laces. It's something about a bush into a bunny or something, right? Anyways, one man who had a solid crack at making a flying car was Henry Smolensky. His incredible invention, called the Miser, fused the back part of a Cessna Skymaster and the front part of a Ford Pinto into this Chimera hybrid. Ha! I guess you'd call it a Carmera. Okay, I'll see myself out. Shockingly, Smolensky's invention was a literal piece of junk that fell apart at a gentle breeze. During a test flight on August 26, 1973, the pilot had to make an emergency landing in a bean field when the wing strut detached shortly after takeoff. Sounds like a pretty fatal design flaw, right? Well, Smolensky was unperturbed by the events and decided to take it out again on September 11th with no further adjustments. Once airborne, Smolensky attempted a sharp right turn and the wing strut collapsed again. Only this time, the entire aircraft disintegrated in midair and Smolensky, along with his business partner Harold Blake, never made it back to the ground alive. Sadly, our dreams of flying cars seem no closer to the present than they did 50 years ago. What a bummer. Nowadays, you can access pretty much anything on your phone, but it wasn't always like that. No, back in the olden times, everything was printed out, and one of the key figures in making that happen was William Bullock. He was an American inventor who made significant improvements to the rotary press, a type of large-scale industrial printing machine. Bullock's contribution to the rotary press was designing a system that fed a continuous roll of material into the press, meaning nobody had to stand there feeding it all day. Neat. However, in April 1867, while making a few adjustments to one of his new presses at the Philadelphia Public Ledger newspaper, Bullock kicked the machine and got his leg stuck and crushed in the process. Ouch. Now, this accident alone wasn't enough to take his life. However, the leg contracted gangrene and became infected. A few days later, he passed while undergoing surgery on his gammy leg. Yikes. What a truly horrible way to go. I've never been more glad I can just read the news on my iPhone. When I think about it, my life is pretty boring. I read a video, edit a video, get lauded by the hordes of loyal fans, and it's quiet, but I like it. But then, I hear about people like Alexander Bogdanov, and it's hard not to compare yourself. This Russian physician, philosopher, and science fiction writer co-founded the Bolsheviks, a revolutionary Russian political party. What a crazy life. However, Bogdanov is best remembered for being a pioneer in blood transfusions, where blood is transferred from one patient to another. In 1924, Bogdanov embarked on some questionable experiments. He hoped to achieve eternal youth, or at least partial rejuvenation, by transfusing himself with younger people's blood. With their consent, I might add. And according to some dubious peer reviews, he actually had some success. He claimed his eyesight improved, his balding stopped, and his peers said he looked 7 to 10 years younger. How true you think this is up to you. But I think there's something fishy about it. However, in 1928, it all came to a horrible end when Bogdanov decided to exchange blood with a student of his who he knew had malaria and tuberculosis. What exactly he hoped to achieve with this, I'm not sure, but the student made a full recovery. Nice, that's awesome. Yeah, but sadly, Bogdanov contracted malaria and tuberculosis from the infected blood and wasn't so lucky. Yikes. He went from 10 years younger to 6 feet under. You hate to see it. Ever since the dawn of time, humankind has dreamed of exploring the great yonder. It's a dream few have ever got to realize, but even fewer have achieved it, quite like legendary Chinese official Wan Hu. There's a lot of conflicting information about when he lived. Some say it was as early as 2000 BC, some say as late as the 1600s, and some say he may have never lived at all. But if his tale is true, Wan Hu would be the world's first astronaut. What? How? Well, the story goes, Wan built a special chair with 47 rockets attached to it. On the day of liftoff, he got dressed up in his best clothes, climbed into his best chair, and had 47 servants light one rocket each before making a mad dash for cover. There was a huge explosion that shook the ground, and after the smoke had cleared, Wan and his chair were gone, never to be seen again. Wow! Okay, so maybe Wan Hu did make it into space on board his rocket chair contraption, but maybe he just got blown to smithereens. What do you think? Was this a giant leap for one kind, or did it all go up in smoke for no reason? Have you ever met that person who always has opinions about things they know nothing about? Annoying, right? Well, that's exactly the kind of person British watercolor artist Robert Cocking was. Despite his somewhat successful painting career, Cocking was always fancying himself as a kind of amateur scientist. And he was very, very amateur. Despite having no scientific qualifications whatsoever, Cocking caught wind of the first parachute jump in England in 1802 and felt like he could do better. So he spent the next few years of his life redesigning a new conical-shaped parachute 107 feet in circumference. Once his passion project prototype was finished, he contacted two friends who owned a hot air balloon to help him test his masterpiece out. On June 24, 1867, despite being a whopping 61 years old, and again, having no formal qualifications in science, Cocking rode up suspended beneath the balloon. At 5,000 feet, he deployed, but the cone-shaped parachute inverted, causing Cocking to plummet towards the ground. Cocking's not-so-clever design completely fell apart 200 to 300 feet above the ground, and he didn't survive the impact. See, Cocky Cocking here had forgotten to consider the weight of the parachute when performing his calculations. Therefore, he was considerably heavier than he'd anticipated. What a fool. Let that be a reminder to you. Leave the smart stuff to the smart people. Now go play with your crayons. Ah, to be young and full of life again. My youth is now sadly a distant memory. However, one budding young inventor called William Nelson suffered an incredibly tragic fate that cut his life short. At just 24 years of age, Nelson was working for General Electric in Schenectady, New York, where he was viewed as an upcoming talent with a great deal of promise. However, on October 3, 1903, Nelson took his latest and potentially greatest invention out for a new spin. It was a prototype motorized bicycle that he wheeled to the top of a hill opposite the home of his father-in-law. Now, I'm not sure exactly what happened to our boy Willie, but he got on the bike and flew down the hill at rapid speed. Whether he lost control and collided with a tree or simply fell off and bonked his head, it's not clear. What we do know is that he had an accident halfway down, and when he reached the bottom of the hill, Willie was no more. Jeez, that's heartbreaking. Believe me, I've worked for some maniacal narcissists in my time. Some people just aren't nice leaders, and that's definitely true for Phalaris the Tyrant. He ruled over Akragas in Sicily around 570 BC and had quite the reputation for his excessively cruel punishments. I can't give you all the grisly details, however, there was one punishment called the Brazen Bull that ended up working against him. One of Phalaris's devoted employees proposed the sick idea of a life-sized bull made of bronze that was hollow on the inside. Phalaris could load his enemies inside the bull, set a fire beneath it, and, make his enemies go bye-bye. Yikes, that sounds horrible. Phalaris loved the idea, but decided to add some extra cruel details like making smoke bellow from the nose in clouds of spicy incense. Wow, this guy's a real piece of work. Well, what goes around comes around. According to the legend, when Akragas was overthrown by Telemachus in 554 BC, Phalaris got a taste of his own medicine. Telemachus put Phalaris inside the brazen bull, and that was the end of him. Nice. Karma can be a cruel mistress in paying its dues, and this evil ruler was long overdue. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you again next time you want to be amazed. You're listening to